I'm here at 88 London Road, also once known as Emporium, but transitioning to 88 London Road as we speak with the venue manager, the creator, the P.T. Barnum of the space, James White, and he says no difficult questions. So, James, what do you think of the pier? Only kidding, only kidding. What I do want to ask, it's more about not the why, although you might want to talk about that, but how do you transition from something that's named one thing to something else? What does that involve?
What does that involve? Involves, I suppose, lots of difficult conversations. That is a hard question, but... It was something that we felt we needed to do and to move forward in terms of how using our PR and our designer, making the right choices and making a clean break from our previous name.
But in terms of naming something, I mean, names can be curses. And did it come easy that you're at 88 London Road, so it's 88 London Road, or has there been more kind of, you know, tussle creatively around why it needs to be called that?
In the office it was quite a clear choice, a clear favourite. I think we've struggled with people finding out where we are, so the address seemed like a sensible name.
Do you think that is part of it, that London Road is becoming a kind of area in Brighton?
Yes, it's definitely an up-and-coming area. The London Road area isn't just London Road. It's up to the level, down to St. Peter Church, up by the station. There's a whole nice community evolving, especially in arts organisations.
And for people that don't know, the way these are my words, but I think you've kind of got a deliberately uneasy relationship with this being a place to hire rather than this being a place where what we put on is our productions and, you know, our production values.
So do you mean I don't let people hire the space?
Well, it's just not open all hours because you've decided to make this space largely, primarily a place that is curated by whatever this place represents to you as a team.
Yes. And the sole reason for that is because I want to be a director and a producer, and producing my own things is what I really want to do. And so does Nathan, who works alongside me. And we're lucky enough to have a space to be able to do that.
This fringe, like a lot of fringes, somehow gets caught up in, it depends how you interpret it, either pathological growth, yeah, you know, filling every nook and cranny with some kind of show, or the idea that, hey, you know, this is a big fest, so let's just get busy. But you haven't filled May with just about every, you know, every slot from 8 a.m. till 2 a.m. in the morning, which a lot of Edinburgh venues and even Brighton venues are doing. So you've chosen not to do that, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think one thing we pride ourselves on, or we pride ourselves on many things, but programming high quality and being careful and selecting high quality work that I think people want to see is really important. Going further with that in terms of, yes, cramming everything in, I remember doing Brighton Fringe shows for a long time, and it's really stressful trying to get your get in done in 15 minutes and put your show on, and you can't have a set and you can't do all those things, or your lighting design can't be as you want it, so you make a lot of sacrifices to get your show on. With the three, so we have three Pebble Trust award winners, and it's their first Fringe and they've never done it before, so we've taken them on, and we're helping them co-produce and giving them a really positive first Fringe experience, and giving them rehearsal space and enough time to really do justice to their work.
So, you either know these off by heart or you've got to reach for your brochure, but tell us what they are.
So
he's not reaching for his brochure.
So first we have Josh Glavin, Growing Pains. Josh is an international tap dancer, and he's written a one-hour piece about growing up. He's 19, but he's already had a stellar career working in LA and around the world. And it's his experience of the industry, as well as growing up as a young man in dance. Next, we have the Abelia Sax Quartet, who are a sax quartet, playing for one day. But they're it's their first fringe show, and we heard them and we were very taken with them, passionate. And then we have Ella, who's going to do a show called Did I Choose These Shoes? And again, it's another growing up story, but this time spoken word, poetry, mixed media. And again, it's about media portrayal of young women. So it's very personal. And we saw an excerpt of that yesterday. So we're also we're watching these three shows as they progress and use our rehearsal space, and we're offering feedback and helping.
And kicking off the fringe early is East, yes. But classic Berkoff. And then there's a family show as well, isn't there?
Oh, yes. So the family show is Pinocchio. So Bard and Troubadour are back, and it's their third show with us. So, yes, a two-hander Pinocchio filled with puppets, original songs. The same usual.
You might not be aware of what you've just been doing, but you've been smiling a lot. And, you know, in terms of this venue, and as I look across the venue, and you can hear music in the background, and you can see a brochure that's got Treasure Island written on it as well. So we've got family, but we've got multimedia, we've got live music. If people look on the website, they're going to find film and all kinds of other stuff. So I'm just wondering if the smile is to do with you and variety.
Absolutely. I love variety and being able to showcase all these different types of media is really exciting for me. And things that I might not necessarily have an expertise in or a huge desire to produce myself, but that's what's great with Nathan being in my team, and Kate as well, who runs all the film things. So it's becoming, I feel like we're becoming an arts venue as opposed to purely a theatre.
And again, as I look around the space, for people that haven't been here, I'm seeing the youngest person here has got to be 6 months old or less. And I'm not going to guess too much, but the oldest people are in their 70s probably. So that's intentional as well, isn't it?
Yes. So it's our cafe bar space is a space for all, and I try to be as welcoming as possible to everybody.
It is, but as we look at what you've just listed as the programme, and there's some Shakespeare, I think, in there we forgot to mention as well, isn't there? Is it Othello or have we got...
Yes.
Yeah. You want them not just to come and have tea, but you want them to head into the theatre at some point, hopefully, that whole age group.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they do. Most of our marketing and most of our ticket sales come from in-house, so people visiting, finding out about a show, picking up a brochure, buying a ticket and experiencing the theatre.
How far are you looking ahead in terms of when you programme? What's kind of the furthest timeline for choosing shows and already starting to programme?
We are programmed up until March next year now. We're looking further and further, and we've got plans for musicals that will start here and then go out on tour and transfer to London. So yeah, well into 2017 is our aim.
quite a few people observed during the Edinburgh Fringe when the independence vote was on, you know, how few shows are actually exploring it. And with the big Brexit vote happening here, you know, people are pointing out in the Fringe there seems to be almost nothing. Do you think Emporium 88 London Road needs to or is going to have more of a kind of art here that, that explores the political turmoil we're all in, or is that something you, you think is for somewhere else?
I think that's for somewhere else, but I think that for each production that comes here, whether it be a director or a writer or a producer, they can, I don't know, they can draw from the current climate and, you know, use that in a production, but I certainly wouldn't want to get very political.
So what are the dreams for the space in terms of how it develops? We've done interviews with you before. You were kind of, well, first one, you'd not that long moved in. It's being changed, it's being developed, you move things around. Is there a sort of vision for it?
No, there's no real vision toward it other than trying to stay here, being a community space, being open and being accessible to all, and putting on great things that other venues don't put on or won't put on. That's the main aim.
In terms of your balance between being a venue runner and a director, how does that sit all together?
Last year it was sitting really nicely, but I haven't directed anything since Christmas, and that was a bit that's a bit difficult sometimes. I'm worrying about the price of beer or coffee or cleaning a loo and actually what I want to do is put on a play or
So when you do direct, do you hand over some of that to someone else so you can focus on directing, or do you just have to be a serial multitasker?
Serial multitasker, but not a very good one. So no, but there's a cafe manager and the staff are really great here, and they manage really well with an ever changing space. And you've been here when there's life drawing on in the morning, or there's a happy cafe meeting, or there's poetry. Everyone copes really well.
And so what's your Fringe going to look and feel like?
Busy. I'm really chuffed with this year's season, that we've got at least one show on every day. Busy. And I want to, hopefully be open to new people experiencing it and coming to see a show that they here that they've never seen before.
Final question. It might be a hard question, I don't know. Two parts. One play that you'd still like to direct before you die, and one actor that you'd most like to work with.
Oh my goodness. I can't answer that question. There are so many plays that... Oh, I'll tell you. Okay. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Because I systematically try and get the rights to that every single year. but it's always too difficult. And in terms of an actor I'd like to work with, again, there are so many. And no, I couldn't answer that one.
Do you wish you'd directed Alan Rickman?
No, but I do wish he had directed me. And I wish he'd directed something here.
That is a great answer to end an interview on. So thanks, James, very much.